Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is one of the very fortunate folks who gets to participate in facilitating the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Jen. Thank you. Great to be here.
Hey. Good. So I can say very fortunate because I know from my own experience that it's a great good fortune to participate often in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work.
It really is. I mean, for me, it is such an extraordinary retreat and such extraordinary work that fortunate is a really good word for it.
Yeah. So I was looking at that today. So obviously the retreat is based on the book by Sherry, with the same name, There's Nothing Wrong With You. And often we talk about it even more broadly than that. So not just the book, not just the retreat, but we do, I think you even just said it a minute ago, that There Is Nothing Wrong With You work. And so I thought that might be an interesting place to start, to just talk about what do we mean by that? What is the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work?
Right. One of the things that, people in my life know that I go on retreats, that I'm a meditator, and I go on way more than my share of retreats. again, very, very fortunate. So I'll often have conversations with folks in appropriate places about some of the things that I do, and the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is one that I will frequently mention. And one thing that I've noticed over the years is that in mentioning that title, people often smile if they've never heard that before. And even if they haven't, there's that smile. And I think that says a whole lot, that at some level, people really get it. You know, in that moment when they're smiling, they're really considering, you know, what would life be like if I didn't believe there was anything wrong with me? And kind of having a little mini workshop right there. So for me, that's really the core of the work, not the core of the work, but that's the deal is you know, getting to the bottom of that to see where that belief resides, and then going beyond it.
Yeah, and you know, as you say that, Chris, I could just picture that perfectly, that smile coming across someone's face.
Oh yeah,
and part of what I project onto that is a recognition of something that's already there, like a sort of, you know. So it's not a brand new idea. It's like a glimmer of, oh, of course.
Yeah. That people are so busy in their lives trying to cope with that belief that there's something wrong with them, and then that title comes in and it cuts right through all that stuff to the core, you know, to the essence of a person, and that sense that there really isn't anything wrong. And probably never was.
Right, exactly. And that, as you say, so much of the There's Nothing Wrong With You work is uncovering what's everything that's been laid on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at first, that belief is completely assumed. I mean, of course there's something wrong with me. I mean, right? But we don't ever think about it that way or really talk to, well, we do talk to ourselves. We're talked to in our heads often that way.
Right,
but it doesn't,
right.
It's all under the radar screen, even though that conversation is going on for most people all day, every day. It's not at the level of conscious awareness. It's all happening unconsciously.
That's right. It's never examined. And so everything that gets built on top of that, all that self-improvement and doing to make up for that then, becomes, you know, a lifestyle that leads into suffering, just creates suffering in people's lives.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good word. It's a lifestyle based on an assumption. And, of course, the nature of assumption.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really true. So especially the beginning of the There's Nothing Wrong With You work is first reintroducing, we could say, if it's a recognition of something that folks already know, reintroducing to the idea of it, and then beginning to dismantle all of that unseen structure that's holding all that in place.
Yeah, boy, that's great. Yeah, I was looking at it like I had the image of a carpenter with a really full tool belt. And as you were saying that, we're given in this workshop, we're given the tools not only to dismantle the system of suffering, you know, a process for ending suffering, but we're right. also given the tools to build the life that, you know, a life of attraction, a life that we really yeah. want to live, other than, you know, trying to make up for that assumption.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and you know what you just said really points at another piece of it, which is what's so interesting to me about the There's Nothing Wrong With Your Work is that it's so foundational to practice and feels like mm-hmm. it always will be. You know, every year, especially now, Sherry and Ashwini are building on practice and bringing in new, amazing,
right.
you know, windows
right.
into looking at it and, you know, different things. And that image that you just used of, so what practice is doing is assisting us to build, you know, giving us the tools and the know-how to build the life that we actually want. But meanwhile, the entire time, conditioning is back there attempting to rebuild what it wants, right?
Right, it's got its little tool belt on in the background, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, trying to camouflage, you know, trying to pretend it looks like practice. And so, especially last year we did a retreat in North Carolina, which we're doing again, but because it was the first time we'd done a retreat in that area of the country for quite some time, there are a number of people who had done, you know, who've been in practice for years and years and years
yes.
and came back and did the retreat again. And it was so powerful to see how critical that is for all of us to kind of keep those there is nothing wrong with you tools sharpened, no matter how long we've been in practice. That's a critical piece of keeping our
yeah.
practice healthy.
Yeah, boy, so true that even after years and years of practice, the retreat can still be transformational in my experience. Life-changing. Pretty much regardless of where one is in practice, that I mean, it's a real tribute to that foundational nature of the work that
yeah.
Almost every one of these retreats has some people that repeat and some people
uh-huh.
brand new to practice, people that just pull yep. off the book off of somebody's shelf somewhere, read it, and then contact the monastery and sign themselves up. It's very impressive.
And don't you always find that the retreat benefits so much from that span of experience?
Uh-huh. I hadn't thought of that. That mix, yeah.
That mix, to me, truly, I just wouldn't, every time, it's like a religious experience. And retreats will often say that. Like, did you guys handpick these people for
yeah.
me? Or?
yeah. Boy, that's really true. Just more proof
yeah.
that life is organizing everything in our favor. So,
precisely.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, yeah. So there's, you know, coming in particular to the retreat to sharpen your tools, but just always throughout our practice, it feels like we're always doing that. We're always looking at where is conditioning coming in with self-hatred. And, you know, as you were talking earlier, it reminded me, I imagine you didn't get to hear it because you were on retreat in North Carolina last week when we had the special open air where we talked about, people got to call in about their celebrations on the International Day of No Self-Hate.
Oh, cool.
And it was beautiful, and I'm really connecting it up with what we're talking about right now, because I think it was a day of people honoring what an amazing insight it was that Sherry had those many, many years ago of something very obvious. Like, now that we see it, it's like, yeah, self-hatred, my God, everyone has it. You know, we're all struggling with that. But before it was articulated in that way and written down in such a clear, concise way, we didn't really have a way to work with it. And so it's just extraordinary that we now have that tool, and that all these years later, you know, we're finding that, as you said, the depth of the work, that it's still relevant mm-hmm. in practice all these years later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is absolutely astounding, I think, too. And one of the things with that is how, you know, speaking of the No Self-Hate Day, that, you know, one of the things that we're fond of saying is spiritual practice doesn't begin until the beatings stop. And it does seem like that's right where that goes, that if my attention is being taken up by receiving a beating at the hands of conditioning, that I'm not really in a position to apply the tools, to really start to investigate those unexamined structures, assumptions and structures, you know, the process of suffering, and then be able to apply the process of ending suffering. So stopping those beatings and getting out from under the self-hate is a really huge step on the path.
Yeah, boy, you just put your finger right on it. That's a beautiful articulation of why the, in particular, that there is nothing wrong with your work stays so foundational throughout all of one's practice. Because,
yeah, yep.
You know, even with all these beautiful tools that every year are being rolled out, we don't, they can't do us any benefit if we're not, you know, doing the practice of
right.
not believing the voices of self-hate, not taking
That's
the readings,
right.
not,
yeah.
You know.
If we're not there, then it's
exactly.
not going to work. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. In fact, all those beautiful practice tools get picked up by self-hatred.
Oh, but that's a really good point. Yeah,
yeah,
boy. Yep. It kind of put us right back in that little box we were attempting to come out of. So,
yep. Yeah. So just as we're talking, to me it's a testimonial to for all of us always to be keeping it in our awareness, keeping it in our recording and listening practice, you know, keeping it in the calling into the radio show when we're seeing
yeah.
self-hate and how we're working with that, sharing that, and coming on the retreat. You know, it's an extraordinary retreat, extraordinary experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And it really is, you know, for every person that does this retreat, it really is a big deal for the whole Sangha. You know, that kind of in-depth practice and that kind of being with and learning is extraordinary, and we all benefit. So, yeah, it's
so
great.
It's so true. Yep. Well, many, many thanks for being with us, Chris.
Yes, thank you too, Jen.
And we'll see you at the next There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, huh?
All right, for sure.
Okay.
All right,
very good.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
How are you?
Good. I'm good. You good?
I'm beyond good. Very expansive and living a very blessed, grateful life. It's good.
Wow. Wow. I just, within the last little while, not while our friends were speaking, but right before that, I just texted that to somebody. And I said, happy, blessed us. And then I had to amend it to say, and grateful. Did I say grateful? Happy, blessed, 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 grateful us. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Due
to practice.
It is. It is, right? We have to just give credit where credit is due. And it is practice, and it's in both senses of that, right? It's practice. It's that there is a practice that exists that we can do to end suffering, and it's that we're practicing. So
yeah.
It's the practice, and it's the practitioners, and it's a dynamite combination for having a lit up life.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is indeed. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here, unless you'd like to share something.
No. I'm eager to hear what's going on.
Okay. Coming up on May 15th is a new Enneagram-based email class.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
You, Sherry, will lead
mm-hmm.
a fun exploration into how ego controls our communication.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. We're working on it already, and I like it already. When the class starts, I'll tell you what I like so much about the whole thing, but not now because I don't want to give anything away.
Mm-hmm. I love the Enneagram already, and it's fun to have it focused on a particular, you know, really rich area that communication
yes.
is.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's a great spotlight. And I think it's going to be the launch because next year, I think, unless we change our minds once again, is going to be, that's going to be the focus, is communication, because there's just so much suffering in that area of communication. So to start out with the Enneagram, it's really rich, as you say.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up, don't miss this year's new retreat. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. That's July 6th through 10th in the San Francisco Bay Area in Menlo Park, California, and then August 31st through September 4th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yes, and I happen to know that people just better hop on that Pennsylvania one, because I saw something come through today that said we're two people away from confirming the Vallombrosa, the Menlo Park retreat, then people will start on a waiting list. So, monastery is full, Vallombrosa, so Pennsylvania is it.
Great. And the retreat focuses on the importance of spiritual training in practice and includes guidance with you, Sherry.
We just did that, you know, in North Carolina. It was very, very fun. And I want to thank the folks in that part of the world. The dogwoods were still beautiful when we were there. And even though they were playing hard to get, on the last day, the cardinals came out for me. So I was very grateful.
Wonderful.
Yep.
And as Jen and Chris told us, there really is nothing wrong with you.
That's right.
And to do the compassionate work of finding this out for yourself, sign up for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat in North Carolina in July and at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in August.
Yeah, the one in North Carolina is going to be in that same beautiful place where we just were, and it's a treat. It's gorgeous. And, of course, we know the monastery is gorgeous, but that location in North Carolina is a stunner.
Wonderful. And so for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And we have callers today, and so a couple of reminders of 5 minutes, please, and one topic. And if you'd like to get in the queue to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. So let's get started.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Is anyone there?
First caller, are you there? He looks unmuted. First caller, are you there? Okay, let's move on here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Hey, Patty, how are you?
Okay, how are you, Sherry?
Good. Okay. Huh? It sounds like there's more to hear about that.
There is more. I'm having a hard time right now. I have a health issue right now, and it's sort of a chronic sort of situation, and it involves varying levels of pain. And I've heard people talk about this, you know, on the radio show and in practice, and it's like one thing to hear about it, and then it's another thing to go through it yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm just calling to get some support and you know, some encouragement. I've been talking to my coach about it, and that's been super helpful. I've been mentoring myself with recording and listening, and that has gotten me through some really, really tough times with all of this. But it does sort of feel like the effectiveness of that has kind of worn off a little bit, or at least at this moment, that's how it feels.
Yeah. And so can you tell me a little about it, about the, you know, the condition, the pain, the how it works, how, you know, all of that?
Well, it's plantar fasciitis. So it's in my feet. And it
both feet, 1 foot.
It's both feet but mostly 1 foot. And it's gotten so bad recently that I couldn't even walk for a little bit. And it's one of those things that, you know, there's no kind of like one treatment for it or cure, you know, and there are a lot of kind of theories for, you know, like how to improve it. But there's a lot of gray area in there. And I've never experienced something like that before. You know, it's always been like when I've been ill or injured, it seems like it has always been really cut and dry. Like, okay, this is what you do to get better. And now I don't have those kind of black and white answers, and it's really challenging for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Have they got you in the things that make your feet flex?
Yeah.
Is that part of the treatment?
Yeah, and I don't know how helpful that's been. It hasn't fixed the problem. But it's just like I'm just feeling like I'm sort of at the mercy of these kind of ups and downs. You know, like when it doesn't feel so bad, then I feel fine and everything's great.
Mm-hmm. Nobody knows about that. I mean, is that just how it goes? It's better. It's a little better, and then it gets worse, and then it's a little better. Is that kind of the way it goes? And then there's a hope that at some point it's going to reverse itself, and then you're going to be fine. Uh-huh.
Right. And there are a lot of different types of treatments that you can pursue, but none of them is you know, like the is perfect, you know, or perfect.
Not like a right. Yeah, it's not like taking something for a headache or antibiotics for a, yeah. And so is it the kind of situation where you're required to see if you can get a sense of when it's better, when it's worse, and then you're in that place of trying to figure out what you did that caused a flare-up or what you did that caused it to get better, or is that a piece of it?
Well, I'm kind of, I mean, that hasn't been, like a doctor hasn't said to do that, but that I'm sort of doing that on my own. You know, I'm kind of trying to, just be really aware of what it is that I'm doing or not doing, and trying different things, and just kind of seeing what effect that has.
Yes. Yeah, so you're becoming the research scientist in this. Since nobody else knows anything, you might as well become the expert on this condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the problem is that when, you know, the results of the experiment aren't, you know, favorable, then I kind of go into this spiral of anxiety, you know, like, and the voices start talking to me about how this isn't getting better, and it's hopeless, and you know, and start really getting me scared.
Aren't they swell? just who you want on your team, right? And seriously, although it's an annoying thing to say, and I acknowledge that, but it is helpful to watch the voices in a situation like this.
Mm-hmm.
How devoted to your unhappiness they are.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at that recently. In fact, I'm gonna write a blog about it soon. But looking at the pervasive negativity, the cynicism and skepticism and that sort of thing that's so much a part of our society, and I could only guess it's human beings, but I just look at our society. And just how that is such a knee-jerk reaction for most people. You know, there's something wrong with this. It's going to go bad. I know it. Don't introduce anything new to me. I don't want to hear about it because I'm sure there's something wrong with it and like that.
Right.
And how that system, of course, is what people look to stay safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To make sure that, you know, you don't get some quack doctor or you make sure that you don't, you know, get some alternative medicine thing that's actually going to make your feet fall off. Mm-hmm. So there it is. You know, it's taking care of you. It's protecting you. So we believe. And then we watch what it's actually up to, which is trying to bring the maximum amount of anxiety, of fear, of mm-hmm. dread, of despair.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so I just think it's, I just always have to underline that because it's so important for us to see it. So just to get that, boy, that thing is not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, what you know is your friend is the mentor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other friend that you can count on is the practitioner, right? The person who is attempting to pay attention, trying to be present, doing the best she can, mm-hmm. willing to do whatever to take care of this human being, to show up. To be kind, to be as hopeful and cheerful mm-hmm. as she can possibly be under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And of course the voices are devoted to her having as little airtime as possible.
Right.
While they go through their litany of isn't it awful? And it, by the way, it's not going to get any better. And it, I'm sure it's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean it feels like it's it feels like it's really pulling out the big guns, you know. It's
yeah.
using it's using really intense sensations to you know, create that story of fear and anxiety.
Sure.
You know, I've been getting these sensations that I haven't felt in years, you know, where it's just this kind of nauseous feeling in my gut and I start to get sweaty palms and, you know, and then the story in the past, the story would be your life is completely messed up. Like you're doing something really, really wrong here.
That this is happening to you. It's your fault.
That was the story years ago when I was, you know, changing my career. It was like it would throw these sensations at me and I would get really freaked out because these sensations I thought at the time were indicative of I am doing something really wrong here, you know?
Yeah.
Not realizing at the time that was conditioning. You know, I thought it was like, you know, a sign from God or something.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, we do. What else would it be? What
right.
else would it be? It seems really, really true. It's got all the facts. It's got all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these horrible physical sensations mm-hmm. that go with it. What, am I going to just not pay attention to it?
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I've been feeling those sensations recently. And this time, you know, the story is about my health. And I've recognized that's it's conditioning. It's a story. I don't need to believe this, but mm-hmm. it's when I'm in the throes of that kind of attack, it's mm-hmm. really hard to stay
yes.
centered.
Yes, it is, and that's the right word. It's an attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So how are you doing recording and listening? Because you said it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like sometimes yes, and then sometimes not so much.
Well,
work.
I'm doing it consistently, and recently my coach suggested trying the two-handed approach, which you know, I had kind of tried it before, like, you know, on retreats and stuff, but never really like got the hang of it. And then
mm-hmm.
I started doing that like a week or two ago in earnest. And it was amazing. It was just, it was mind-blowing how much that helped. Because I was able to, you know, like, let the person who was suffering really talk about it. And I wasn't rushing to get to a place where
you'll
was,
be fine.
You know. Yeah, exactly.
You'll be fine. It's okay. I'm the mentor. I know about these things. You'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
I realized that often before I wouldn't even record because I wasn't sure that I could get to a place of mentoring. But then by doing the two-handed exercise, then I could I didn't have to start off the recording knowing that I had the mentoring in me. You know, I could sort of like just let that come later.
You could actually trust the process, as we say.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And I was able to make all of these really specific recordings for specific times of day when I was susceptible to certain stories and fears. And so it was working like a charm. It was fantastic. And then, you know, just like recently, I feel like, I don't know, the shine has worn off or something. I'm still doing it, but it's like, it doesn't feel like it's really cutting. It's not cutting through the anxiety like it was.
Yes. Well, and that's for all of us, for everybody who, all of us, that's the deal. So at first, conditioning doesn't know how to handle this, right? And so you do get to the other side of conditioning powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, it's got the hang of it.
Yeah.
So it's sliding in, and it's there. You can't really feel it, but it's taking enough of the awareness and enough of the attention that you're increasingly identified with it. And then, of course, here's the real kicker. It starts not being as powerful, mm-hmm. and there's a little fear reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, what if it stops working?
Mm-hmm.
And then you try it again, and it's not as powerful. Oh, no. Okay, so now we're headed toward a panic attack or an anxiety attack, right?
Yeah.
Or insomnia. Oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to sleep. And the adrenaline that's pumping with that is the very thing that is enabling conditioning to hang on and us not to get to a centered place.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my encouragement in two ways, and probably most of this you're already doing, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
One is, this is life and death, okay? So you know that you can't take time off because things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't get to a place where, oh, it's not hurting that much, I feel better, I think I'm okay. You can't take time off because of that. In fact, when that's going on, you need to be more diligent in coming back to yourself. So the recordings then are, it doesn't actually matter what happens. I'm going to be here with me. We're going to be here together. We're going to, we don't know what's coming next. At some point, there'll be something we won't get through. And that's what we're preparing for now. And so the only thing that matters at this point is we're together. That's it. There's no comparing this to anything else. There's no imagining what it's going to be like in the future. There's just this moment, and here we are. And this is what I'm grateful for in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Tons of those, so that you are constantly making those recordings or listening to those recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay.
Because that's where it's getting you now. Anytime there's a little respite, then it wants to come in and make you believe that this would be a good time to have some time off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. That's the setup.
Yeah, I mean, if it said it like that, then I would catch on to it.
That's right.
But
it doesn't.
I think the way that it's doing it is just getting me to focus on the fact that I'm feeling better, and you know, things are looking up, and I'm, you know, and sort of like almost a pseudo Zen thing of like, I'm enjoying this moment, you know, I'm feeling grateful for this moment, but really it's conditional. It's totally conditional.
Yes. That's right. That's right. That's exactly it. That is spot on. And that's the part that we're not falling for.
Right.
Because it actually doesn't matter. Yeah, it's great when we feel great. There is just no question about it. But that's not the point. Because if we are in well-being, because everything is going our way, there's nothing remarkable about that.
Uh-huh.
Right? But can we be there in that gratitude and willingness to be present to and serve regardless of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got. That's what we've got to learn to be for the human incarnation,
right?
Because it really is true. There's no, as far as we know, there's no way to get out of here that isn't
uh-huh.
going to involve some necessity to be present in loving kindness and compassion.
Right. Right.
You know, we could idealize getting hit by a truck or dying in your sleep, but we don't know that that's the perfect way to go either.
Right.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Mhm.
So it's hard sometimes to see the level of abandonment that we are talked into in those kinds of circumstances, because mm-hmm. isn't it okay to enjoy feeling good after feeling bad for so long? Yeah, it is. It's wonderful, but not if it results in unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, I don't want to take up too much more time, but thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Stay in touch, okay? Stay in
I
touch, because, yeah, because when something like this is going on, we really don't, you know, there's no, it's dangerous to be alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
All right.
Take good care. All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, a little message to our callers. The system has reset, the people who raised their hands. And so if you wouldn't mind raising your hand again, if you're in the queue, by pressing *6 and then 1. That would be great. I think I've tracked who raised their hand before, but it would be helpful to get back in the queue again.
All right.
All right. So, next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Am I coming through?
You are.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I've never called in before. My name's Elaine. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Well, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I bought your book on fear maybe 10 years ago, and periodically I pick it up. And then I just read There's Nothing Wrong With You, and it resonated a lot. And I saw the upcoming workshop in North Carolina. That I think it's a pipe dream. I'm unemployed right now. But your books really speak to me, and There's Nothing Wrong With You right now feels like, yeah, I wish that were true. So I guess I'm calling.
Well, it is true, but I hear that you don't have that experience currently.
I can say that to myself, and I'm not believing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. It's wonderful to talk with you after reading your words for so long. I have gone through anxiety and depression off and on for about 10 years. 10 years ago, there were 3 traumatic events, and something in me went, change is bad. Something made me feel very, very small. Off and on, I'll be fine in between, and then some event will happen that would cause most people a little bit of stress, and I go into some kind of abyss. And mm-hmm. and the immediate threat with that, Sherry, is when it happens, I lose my job. I stop being able to perform my job. And this has happened in the past couple years to the point where my money is starting to run out. And I found myself going to job interviews right now. This last time, it was devastating. I was only at the job for 6 weeks, and I got overwhelmed. And then 2 weeks later, you know, she said, "You're not performing," and backed out. And I don't blame her. I wasn't. I got completely overwhelmed. And I'm finding when I go to job interviews now, I'm going, oh my, in my back of my head going, oh my God, I can't do this job. Oh my God. It's like going to the job and taking the chance of not being able to handle it again is like the worst thing possible in my emotions. And I'm avoiding it, and which is causing a worse situation.
Yeah,
you know, I don't. I mean, yes. I have rent for next. I have rent that I can pay, but that's about, you know, it. I feel very grateful that I had rent in my checking account. But if this continues, my God, this can't continue. I don't know how to get myself out of this.
Yeah, and it's what I was just talking about with Patty, right? There's the fear that comes up, the anxiety. And then it happens again. The thing that you fear happens again. And then the fear is greater. And the greater the fear, the more likelihood that it's going to happen again until one gets to where you're describing, which is now I'm afraid even to put myself in the situation. I'm that convinced that I'm not going to be able to handle it. So may I ask you, what is it that you do for a living?
I used to design database systems.
Okay. And so that's something that has become too stressful and anxiety producing.
It's more the corporate world has become too anxiety producing for me rather than the work itself, and just the mm-hmm. level of quantity of output, not so mm-hmm. much the specific topic of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this. What might you do that wouldn't be overwhelming?
Cat sit. I can't think of anything that would pay the bills. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yes. Now that you see, this is where it runs us. It works us into a corner, right? So if I have bills such that I need X amount of money to pay the bills, but the work that I need to do to make that amount of money is too anxiety producing, then we can see that there's a problem there.
Now, Sherry, I can make less money than that field. I'm okay making less money, but I wouldn't be able to work at Target and pay the bills. I'm okay taking a job with lesser responsibility, but and I haven't
there you
figured
go.
Out that middle ground. I haven't
okay.
figured it out.
But that's, yes, and yes, and you know, well, I'll tell you why, in case you don't know why. The reason that you haven't figured it out is because you're looking to the system that is creating the problem for a solution. You're looking to the same system that has backed you into that corner and hoping it's going to give you a solution that will get you out of the corner.
Okay, I will buy that. I accept that. Now, how do I change my perception, or how do I make that shift?
Well, of course, this is this is a big question. Awareness practice, obviously, is the way most of us do it. Because what we are required to do is to learn to step out of that relationship with conditioned mind, to step into the moment, and to recognize the guidance that comes to us from the intelligence that's animating us, and to turn to that, to live in the present and look to the present for guidance rather than looking to conditioned mind. But it's a process. Now, of course, one great way to do that would be to come to a retreat like there's nothing wrong with you. And so it might be interesting to see if there's a way you can see your way clear to do that. Because it's that kind of process that begins to turn things around for us.
Are there scholarships that are offered ever for things like that?
You'd have to contact the office and see about
okay.
that.
Yeah, I'll talk offline.
I will tell you, though, it's really doubtful because it's incredibly expensive for us to put on a retreat like that in a place like that. We actually lose money on it. So I doubt it. And it's too bad because it is in your backyard and there's no travel. But the thing that you would learn, the primary thing that you would learn on that retreat that I think would be most helpful is recording and listening. And that's where you learn to access that wisdom, compassion, loving kindness, comfort that is your authentic nature and be in conversation with that instead of the voices in the head.
Hmm. Okay,
yeah.
It sounds good, Sherry. I don't. Yeah, but I would have to stay at the retreat. It's not so much in my backyard. So I would have the overnight costs as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe just to see if there's a way to do that. But back to the previous point, I think you're really closing in on a possibility there. When you look to see how am I willing to change my life in order to be able to do something that will cause the human being to calm and reach a level of all rightness during the process of turning all of this around.
I need to be willing to reach out and take a risk again.
Well, maybe you do.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And maybe that's a setup. I really was responding to looking at how you could change your life circumstances so that you could afford your life doing something that is less anxiety producing while you do the work to take care of the anxiety.
Not sure what you mean. I live in a small two-bedroom apartment. I don't have cable or TV. I mean, I'm not quite sure.
Look and see what kind of jobs would pay enough to be able to maintain you, and they would be the kinds of jobs that would not be so anxiety-producing as you do the work of dealing with the anxiety.
I've been shooting for that. The only interviews I'm getting are these high-level jobs. I've tried to dumb down my resume, and I've submitted to a couple of the jobs, and then I've started some volunteer work to try to make some avenues in. So far, today I had an interview at a high-level job. Yesterday I did, and both times I walked out and I threw up afterwards going,
I think we've established that is not the direction for you right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wish that there were a solution.
So do I.
It's a process. You know,
it's
possible. Yeah.
It's a process that I need to learn somehow. Yeah. And I've got some immediate needs. I mean, I can't do this for too many more weeks without an income. So I need to find that shift. And just like everybody, right, I need to find the shift kind of soon. A way to find some jobs that I can work.
That's right.
Soon.
Yeah. Think clerk in a grocery store. UPS driver. Yeah.
The magic number is 24 an hour. The magic number is $24 an hour to pay my bills.
Okay. Well, then there you go. That would be a great place to start. Yeah?
Right.
Who
that's not clerk at a grocery store. That's not Target. You know?
Okay, you know what? you know, we could do this for a really long time, but it's not helpful. It's just not helpful. If the focus is going to be on what won't work, then nothing is going to work.
Okay. I need to find jobs that pay $24 an hour. Let me try in the positive.
Well, and maybe your bills don't have to be that much. A lot of people live on much less than $24 an hour. While you go through the work that you need to do to overcome the anxiety so that you're freed up to make different choices.
Okay.
Yeah? So just a, you know, barefoot in, through the snow, uphill in both directions story. When I wanted to go to the monastery where I trained, I wanted to be available to be there whenever I was allowed to be there, and I cleaned houses and picked apples to support myself while I did that. It all depends on how important something is to us. For me, saving the human being is a really high priority.
Maybe I'll just I could sell my belongings and get a room for rent. Is that for your that kind of a solution? Is that what you're thinking?
It's not my life, Elaine. You have to explore these things for yourself. What I'm pointing at is there are a lot of possibilities other than this is how it is, this is the way it needs to be, this is the only thing that can work, and it's not working.
I have to get over this change is bad thing that stuck in my craw 10 years ago. I've got a lot of resistance to change.
That would be a very good thing, because I don't know if you've noticed, but life is change.
I've got this stuff in my craw. I don't know how to get out of it. It buried itself deep in my psyche, this change is bad thing. It's not an intellectual thing.
Elaine, you got to do the work. Okay? You've got to do the work, and we can't do it here on open air.
Yeah. But you do it in your retreats.
We do. We absolutely do.
So there's a phone number I can call to do some exploration on that?
Yep. And there's an email address, too.
Okay. I saw all the registration and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Contact the office and see.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Good.
You.
Hope to see you somewhere like that soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elaine. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. You can hear me now. I was the mythical first caller.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I was just talking.
Wow.
Talking.
And nothing was happening on our end.
Nope. But
all right.
I
and here you are.
I had a sense that I'd be the first caller. I just didn't realize that you wouldn't hear me.
Right. Aha. Well, what's going on?
Well, nothing. Mainly good news. I was just realizing I hadn't called in a long time, and I thought, well, I should just call and just push down any conditioning idea of that I needed something to talk about.
Uh-huh. Because there's always life, right?
Yeah.
And there's always practice.
Yeah, and something will drop in, and I don't need to prepare. You know, I know I hear other people calling and they just say, I just have good news. And that's basically what I have, is I have good news.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And basically it is that I just, this whole year, because my kind of, my time and energy has been freed up from where it was elsewhere, I just decided to kind of be all in with practice. And it's just been great. Just signing up for everything and committing and really watching, like, when there's like a move to like, yeah, I want to do that, that just to do it, right?
Yes. Not to leave it in the hands of conditioning to decide, well, now do I have time and do I really want to and how's that going to be with this? But just there's that impulse and we say yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I just did that recently with the current session of Stop Drop Text. And just I just dropped in, oh, I'm going to do it. And there was just this quick second of like to try and like start some conversation about it. And I just signed up rather than engage that. Didn't resist
yes.
it. Didn't get into it. Just signed up. And
yeah.
And I just say, just after like almost a whole full 2 days of it, right? Really enjoying it. And
good.
And really getting to see how I think at least right now the real benefit is the accountability piece to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like not mm-hmm. expecting something from the facilitator at the other end of the text, but using it more to like, you know, certainly the facilitator is helpful, and I get to see things in that, but the intention being, it's like, well, this is me being accountable for my own practice, you know.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and it's great to have that mirror out there, or that however we want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not essential when we get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you're doing it for you, and you're not doing it to get something. You're doing it to show up.
Yeah, yeah. And I decided I would like I chose a piece of content I wanted to work with during the session.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using it as a way to stay accountable for that and to pay attention during that process. And it's just all good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was looking, and I think I was actually talking to somebody or somebody's about this earlier today, that whole, that attitude of, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and letting go of any information that says something could happen to me that would be bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There just isn't anything. The only thing that could happen to us that's bad is listening to a voice saying there's something that could happen to us that's bad.
Exactly.
And when we're not doing that, I mean, we are literally home free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I guess one of the big benefits of that for me right now, at least, is that that the more I do that sort of intentionally, the more there's a willingness just to do it, just naturally as it comes up in life. You know, an
yes.
opportunity or something drops in, and I can just, you know, there's just a freedom there.
Yes. Yes. Because you know that nothing can happen to you. You know, the only thing, again, that happens to us is our relationship with those voices. And if we don't allow that, then it really is all good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because even, you know, if you said yes to a program and you realize, yeah, I'm not enjoying this, well, you would see a great deal in that. You would learn a lot in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it that I'm not enjoying?
Where does that come from? Well, what did I expect? Well, how would I prefer it to be? Well, what's going on with me anyway? And sooner or later, I would circle around to, you know, there's a piece of conditioning operating here. Well, isn't that helpful to see?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I'm so glad I did this. I would have never seen that if I hadn't done this.
Yeah, and then also like having like a collection of experiences that are contrary to what I'm told the experience will be is just really
yes.
helpful.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that either that it's going to turn out awful or I'm not going to be adequate or something awful is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And having that replaced with almost a complete disinterest in outcome.
Yes.
And a focus on just being here and being available.
Yes. Yeah. Because, as we know, as we're fond of saying around here, the process is the outcome.
Right.
So if I'm present and available, then present and available is what I'm going to get out of this. Well, what about at the end of it? What about when it's all over? Well, if I'm present and available, then I'm going to get present and available.
Yeah.
And it's so magical. You know, it's one of those kinds of things that if you can't see it, it's just gibberish.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as you see it, it is so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I didn't see it. And it wasn't obvious in the past.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure for a long time we didn't see it and it wasn't obvious. Yeah. And I'm sure that there are still many, many, many things available out there that we don't see and aren't obvious. But realizing that the process is going to always give us exactly what is best for us, we can just relax into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that the the process is the outcome. You know that when I'm there, that discovery is just such a joy. You know, discovery of what doesn't work, what does work, how does it work, what would be fun? Do I really want to do that? And you know, and then that. You know, like, and that seems like it's a big piece that conditioning wants to hide. That's a fun process.
Yes, it's like being a kid again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's just play. It's all discovery. And when there's nothing wrong, then what if I don't like it? What if I taste that and I think it tastes like something people shouldn't be eating? Well, great. I don't have to like it. I don't have to want to eat that. That's not awareness practice. Awareness practice is knowing that doesn't taste good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll wrap up now because I don't want to go on. But the thing we dropped in where you said it's like being like a kid, it's like, yeah, and like you know, breaking things can be fun when you're a kid. And so, you know, I could be working on something and I could break it. You know, and I can still have fun.
Yes, yes, and you can figure out if it can be put back together or not. But it's all really, really interesting, and interesting is fun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
Good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing really well, and I actually didn't think I was going to get on, but I'm so glad I did because I wanted to call and just say thank you for what you call haranguing. But we would call, you know, just dedicated guidance. At least that's what I would call it, as far as recording and listening goes. Yeah, I just want to say thank you for that.
Mm.
I do think that in my line of work, being willing to nag is just high up there on the list of qualifications that a person is well served to have. And not taking it personally that everybody doesn't enjoy nagging in the same way that, say, I do.
Yeah.
And
well,
you
I
do, apparently.
And what?
And you do, apparently. You enjoy
yeah, well,
nagging as well.
Of course. But I guess with the recording and listening, what happens repeatedly, and it feels like a paid announcement or something, but or endorsement. But it when I get fooled, when I go into you, it was referred to on another call. I go to, or you had mentioned it, where I go into that place that everything's fine. Oh, life is good, and the letting down. And that's mm-hmm. when, conditioning comes in. And having gone through that a few times lately where things got pretty low before the wake-up, and then knowing that recording and listening is the thing, no matter how much resistance there is, that with the mentor is going to has the possibility and has every time been transformative. And and then what happens after that, at least in my experience today especially, was what the last caller just referred to, where once that clearing happens, it's like it's a brand new life in that moment, and everything is yes. Everything
uh-huh.
is yes. And it's, it doesn't get much better than that.
It doesn't. And to realize that even within that, so, as you say, it gets pretty low before the turn. We go into these places, we get fooled, we get, we collude with the resistance. Somebody says, you could record and listen. Well, I don't feel like it. That's not going to help me, whatever it is. And we come out the other side, and we have seen that whole process.
Yep.
And seeing the process over time is what enables us not to be fooled by that process.
That's exactly right.
So there's still
right.
nothing and, wrong with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if we get fooled again, we know from having gone through it that going back to the recorder to just listen, if that's all I can do, if I can just get enough willingness for that, that's something, I'm going to hear something that offers an option, that offers something else, and most likely I'm going to record then. And it really is, it's such a gift, and I'm so, anyway, thank you for just letting, telling us that always, that no matter what, that's there, and it works, and it's wonderful.
Yes, well, you're very welcome, and I'm glad that I have the job that I have because, as you know, one of the best ways to stay in touch with something is to be constantly telling other people about it. So, it really benefits me. And it's why I've said forever, I'm actually not interested in students. I'm really interested in facilitators and coaches and folks like that because it's the old do for the love of others. And when we're in that position where we need to show up for somebody else, then we'll take that step for ourselves. And that's just the most glorious thing in the world as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. And I just wanted to mention one other thing, and that I think it was in the first call, when what you talked about with recording and listening, how conditioning catches on and we get hoodwinked with, how it catches on, what it does after catching on, and what to do with that, because, that's like everything else. It's the process that conditioning does. It comes in and, works to take over, so, yeah.
Yes, so in the beginning, we think it's as bad as it can get, right? So, and we watch this with the voices all the time, with all kinds of content. So, I decide that I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to quit drinking coffee, or I'm going to quit eating sugar, or whatever it is. And I've got a little momentum about that, right? Because I'm committed here. I'm good. This is good. I'm gonna do this thing. And then over time, as my resolve maybe wanes a little bit, conditioning's resolve is revving up. Mm-hmm. And so I have to recognize that I need to get more committed and more committed and more committed, and that eventually the depth of my commitment is going to be something that conditioning can't equal.
Right.
And it's in that moment that I win. So when we feel our resolve weakening, or we feel like, well, this isn't really working in the same way, then we have to do more. I was just saying to somebody about fitness. With each year that goes by, we have to do a little more to stay fit, not a little less. And the same is true with conditioning. You know, we have to become more committed, more committed, more committed, more committed, more committed. And, of course, the wonderful part about that is that's what really takes care of us. So it's a lovely situation that we are required to do the thing that takes best care of us.
Right. Yeah, and so good to be reminded of that. Thank you, mm-hmm. Sherry.
You are so welcome. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. And, wow, another great show.
There we are again, huh?
There we are again.
All right. Well, it's a lovely thing.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.